Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, spookgetty and meatball ghouls? Oh, man.
I knew you weren't going to get it right the first time.
Welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are back in the saddle. It is officially our first episode of October in Salem. Well, first one we're recording in October. We didn't record the other one.
I think we did. I think we recorded the other one on the first.
Did we?
I think so.
Oh, shit. Well, welcome back to our second episode of October. Fall and Halloween and spooky season are full effect here, both in our studio and in Salem. Aiden, how are we feeling?
Dude, I'm feeling good. We're switching things up slightly today. Not like super crazy, just ever so slightly. You'll find out in a minute, but yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to be here. I love it, like, whenever we have a break, or like, you know, a week where we don't record, like, the second week after is when you're like, oh, like, we're back in the groove.
Yeah.
And we're riding, so, yeah, I feel like we're back in the groove, and we're riding and vibing, so, dude, so stoked to be here.
So stoked to be here.
Where is here, though? Should we tell the people where is here?
So, we were trying to think of, like, I think our theme in October, for the rest of October, is going to be, like, spooky, like, fall vibe places.
For sure.
So, for this one, we were like, let's think of, like, an Appalachian town.
Yeah.
So, we went to Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina.
And so, the thing that we're going to be switching up ever so slightly is that instead of picking a drink that is local to that place, we're going to be just doing, like, fall vibe beverages. So,
yes, sir.
For this one, I made myself a little apple cider spritz. So, it is 4 parts Prosecco to 3 parts... hold on. Okay, let me... So, 4 parts Prosecco, 3 parts apple cider, and 2 parts Aperol.
Okay, nice. And then what's the garnish?
And an apple slice garnish.
Which, for those of you that are not in studio, which is all of you, Aiden's apple slices are the most perfect apple slice. Like, I mean, talk about, like, late, like, phew, like...
Yeah, dude,
He knock that apple slice out of the absolute park.
I always fuck it up somehow, but this time I was like I pulled that apple slice off the apple and I was like, hell yeah.
No, that, like, insane apple slice. Like, I am just staring at the apple
You're
slice.
You're
in
right awe now. Of
in
my
awe
slice.
Of the slice. So, dude, let's get fall. Let's fall it up, dude.
Cheerio to fall.
Cheers. That was a good cheers.
That was a good cheers. Oh, yeah.
It hits.
Oh, yeah. That's good
it
stuff.
It hits the fall vibe.
So, also, for those of you not in studio, by apple slice, I mean apple wheel, like the wheel.
Yeah, he did the
and
wheel.
And it's ginormous. I'm using a flute glass. So,
it is quite large.
Taking up a lot of
you
the
might
diameter
have to take
here.
It
I think I'm going to have to snap it in half.
Ooh. And just drop
and
it
just
in.
And just drop it all in there.
Dude, once you're done munching on a boozy apple slice,
ooh, yeah.
That might not be a bad vibe, dude.
Yeah, I think that's the vibe.
Dude, so tell me, what do you know about Appalachia?
Oh, dude.
What?
We should have named this drink, like, the Appalachia Cider or something. Damn.
Well, we still can.
You know what? Coined.
Coined.
Appalachia Cider.
Appalachia cider. We will be putting that in the Instagram post if you're interested in sipping on the Appalachian cider. There we go.
But yeah, anyway, I know the trail, so I know that it's like a ginormous trail. I know that people go missing on the trail all the time. I know that there's been certain crimes that have happened on the trail. And I basically, I think I, is like Kentucky along the trail?
Yeah.
I think I heard about like aliens or something, like these little like creatures in one part of Kentucky or something like that along the trail. So that's most of what I know, is just spooky shit, trail, lots of woods, people go missing, people die, and yeah, weird creatures.
Yeah, that is, I wanted to pull up like a, yeah, definitely goes through all of those.
What do you know about the trail or about Appalachia?
So my family, we drive through Appalachia every year, through the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yeah.
Shenandoah River. Life is older than the trees.
All right, we lost it. We had it for a second there, and then we lost it. But so I definitely, I mean, it's, talk about one of the most gorgeous parts of our country. But I also do know that there is this, like, very mysterious and unique lore regarding the Appalachian Mountains, at night and stuff like that. There's a lot of, like, you know, I've seen, like, people talk about, like, if you hear your voice being called at night in Appalachia, or, like, walkie-talkies will, like, say, like, help and stuff like that, and it's, like, it's a spirit, like, looking for permission to come out, like, if you respond over the walkie-talkie and stuff like that. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of creepy shit that happens there. Yeah, we spent 2 nights in a cabin, like a house, last summer in Appalachia, like in Virginia. First off, gorgeous. Like, there was a bunch of fireflies outside. I'd never seen a firefly before. Get alone, really? like 30 of them at the same time and stuff like that. It was so cool. But it's just, there was, like, just kind of a creepy, like, little bit of a vibe there. Like, it's like you're in the mountains and you feel very isolated, and it almost, like, the energy kind of feels isolated and stuff like that. So I definitely have some experience there. I have not had any spooky experience there, but it does sound like the spook runs deep there, and definitely has some devious intentions at times.
Yeah. Well, my location kind of has nothing to do with the Appalachian Trail or anything like that. It's just in Asheville.
In Asheville, nice.
But it is called the Jackson House.
Nice.
So, let's get into it. So, I will preface this by saying that my story has a large part to do with suicide. So, as always, if you can't listen to that, then I would skip forward.
Skip to mine. It's about naked men.
Count me in, dude. All right, so the Jackson Building was commissioned by Linwood Baldwin, L.B. Johnson, or Jackson, sorry.
Any relation to Alec?
I was going to say, dude, have you seen Hilaria's Dancing with the Stars?
No.
She's really bad.
Who's Hilaria?
Alec Baldwin's wife.
Really?
So she is from Boston. There's this whole thing about her. But basically, she's from Boston, but she wants people to think that she's, like, exotic. Like, she's from, like, not the United States, so she puts on a really thick accent.
Oh, that's kind of strange.
Yeah. But she's, like, from Boston.
Yeah. Weird.
Really, really strange.
That's really weird.
I think her name is actually Hillary, but she goes by Hilaria.
Interesting.
Yep. So, anyway.
I mean, yeah, it's A.
She's... I've seen her dances on Dancing with the Stars a little bit.
Not very good.
Not very good.
Is she... I mean, She's probably pretty, right?
Yeah.
Is she pretty?
Yeah, she's
I mean,
pretty.
He's old, right? But I mean, if
He's
you're
old,
starring
yeah.
in Boss Baby, you're pulling all the
And they
titties.
do have a supermodel
Didn't
daughter.
he shoot someone?
Killed somebody.
Jeepers.
Accidental, but still.
Still. I mean, that's... I actually, now I remember that story. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Also, we're way off task. Let's...
Wait, no, they don't have... No. Hailey Bieber's not their daughter.
No.
That's their niece.
Yeah, it's... Is that Steve? Is his name Steve?
I don't know. I don't
let's
know.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Anyway. No relation that I know of to Alec.
Gotcha.
Construction took place in 1923 and 1924, and the slender tower opened to tenants in 1924.
I don't like that. Just a slender tower?
Just a slender tower.
No
dude.
Fucking thanks, dude. I'm not living in any slender towers. Oh, yeah, I have this nice one bedroom. It's in this slender tower. I'm going to stop you right there.
I think your naked man story would live there.
Maybe. I don't know.
The naked man in your story. Did I mention that it was the first skyscraper in Asheville?
No,
that's an important piece.
Gotcha.
Anyway, at completion, it was the tallest building in Western North Carolina.
Pause, dude. Just your slender tower at completion. That is, someone's got naughty brain on. Just a couple of sips of the Appalachian cider, and you're just all talking about all kinds of slender towers.
I didn't even put that together, so I think that you're the one with the naughty.
I don't know.
The naughty, naughty on your mind. And it was a symbol of Asheville's confidence in the Roaring Twenties.
Nice. They were confident about their slender tower.
The lot itself is almost as famous as the tower because it's a tiny 27 by 60 foot footprint.
Oh, so it's not a very girthy tower.
I was just going to say, dude.
It's not a lot of girth to the tower.
Not a lot
but
of girth to the,
it,
to the
it's
plot
long.
That it's on.
It's long. It's long and slender. So I guess, yeah, it is genuinely a slender tower.
Yeah, like I said.
Yeah.
And it made the Jackson Building a record holder for tallest building on the smallest lot.
Whoa, tallest building on the smallest lot when they erected the slender tower.
On the...
Upon completion, it earned a reward.
Yeah. Okay. The narrowness compelled inventive engineering, a deep foundation.
Dodge.
And a vertical, almost filamentous plan that gave Asheville an unmistakable landmark. Jackson's idea was as much promotional theater as it was real estate. So the tower included an observation level, which was like an early century lookout where citizens and inspectors could watch the city and the river valley. There was telescopes and a searchlight. And then they, like, the municipality would even use it for, like, clean air inspections from the heights and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So, it's got a lot of uses. But the original use of the plot of land was for a shop that was a tombstone and stone cutting
shop.
So, I think that could also lend a little bit of credence to the future, the ghost stories that we'll get into
Absolutely.
In a little while. So the Jackson Building opened during a boom that would soon curdle, as we know. I mean, the Great Depression.
Yep.
So, the Great Depression.
It was great.
It was great.
And depressing.
Asheville's real estate bubble of the 1920s crashed with the national economy, and by the end of the decade, many businesses and individuals found themselves underwater. The building itself remained in use as office space, hosting everything from small professional firms to municipal functions. And over the decades, its tenants and owners changed while the actual tower just remained. So now we'll get into the kind of main lore around why this place is haunted. So the most persistent category of story attached to the Jackson Building concerns suicides. So at the Jackson, this was usually in the form of fatal jumps from the upper floors during the early years of the Depression. multiple local ghost lore sources recount versions of the same pattern. So in October 1929, and the subsequent crash, businessmen who had made investments in a now-collapsed market were said to have leapt from the upper windows, and those tragedies were sometimes offered as the origin of the building's restless spirits. Because newspaper archives of the period are scarce for these specific claims, retellings will vary in precision. Sometimes only a single man is named, and sometimes it's a handful of unnamed businessmen. But to this day, the ghost tours in town point to the upper windows and speak in hushed tones about the day the market fell.
Oh, jeez.
So one recurring name in modern retellings of the story is Frederick M. Messler. According to contemporary paranormal write-ups and some local blogs, Messler had an office in the Jackson Building and reportedly died by suicide on an upper floor in the early 1930s.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
It sucks. That sucks. Especially, yeah, like the stock market shit. It's like, bro, it's just money.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it was pretty common back in the
No, it definitely was. And like, it still is somewhat common on Wall Street and stuff like that, where it's like, guys make bad trades and they lose fucking everything. They're like, holy shit, like, I was a millionaire and now I'm not anymore. Like, that's a lot to process.
Yeah.
And some of them don't process it.
So now we will get into the ghosties.
Ooh.
So the first category of ghost is the visual apparition. So several witnesses and tour reports claim the sighting of a pale figure of a man pacing an upper corridor or seen at an upper window at dusk. Variations depend on who tells the story. Some emphasize a suit and a hat, which makes sense for the time. Obviously, like, the businessmen back then would wear that. And then others speak of an indistinct presence that vanishes when approached.
Mm.
So kind of just a blob.
Very interesting. It'd be funny if he was wearing, like, a finance bro vest. Like, just pacing back and forth in a Patagonia. Just yeah. Like, oh, man. My tendies.
My dad could buy your whole life.
Yeah.
Dude. So then there's the sounds. So there's footsteps when no one is there. There's distant voices. Or in the Jackson Building stories, the imagined echo of shouting like market panic. Ghost tour narratives often dramatize the day of the crash. The imagined hustle of the phones, the quiet that follows, and then the soundscape that some visitors report hearing faintly in upper rooms. And then there's...
Dude, that would be crazy. Just being there
when it
crashed.
Like, you've seen Wolf of Wall Street. Like,
sure.
It kind of happened in that movie a little bit, but like not to the same extent. Like, in that one, it was, what, the 1985?
Something, oh, I forget, dude.
1980s, whatever.
I was in it for the tits and the coke, dude. I wasn't worried about them. No, I'm kidding. It's a joke.
The Quaaludes.
Steve Madden.
So then there's the photos. So paranormal blogs and tour reports sometimes include photos that their authors call anomalous, or point to inexplicable blurs. And describe sudden drops in temperature on stairwells or landings. As with many such claims, natural explanations are possible, like, you know, a draft or wind.
Sure.
Or it's a dark hallway. There could be shadows of things.
There's some air conditioning on and a shadow.
Yeah.
Got you.
But still, a lot of people think that it's the ghosts of those who came before, so...
And then jumped out the window.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting.
And now the building sits on the National Register for, like, historical buildings. And, yeah, it's been preserved.
Interesting.
Over the years. So,
I am... I think I'm going haunted. I mean, I do think that that is a pretty not common, but like that phenomena of losing all that fucking money and then jumping out the window, I think definitely leaves a residue. I mean, someone literally, their life, there was no physical harm to their life, but they had such an emotional, like, oh my gosh, my life is over reaction that they ended up ending their life.
Yeah.
So I think that that energy has to stick around, dude.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it probably is haunted. I mean, I'm guessing because it was like the tallest building at the time that it was probably like the spot for people to go to commit suicide when when the crash happened. So yeah. I'm sure that there was more than one, like some people think there was. So yeah, I'll go haunted too.
Agreed.
Do you have any slam poetry?
Oh, to do while prepared you chug.
While I chug?
No, you remember you were supposed to write the
slam poetry for me. I didn't.
And then you didn't.
I didn't. So you're just gonna have to go off the dome.
What is slam poetry? I think we still.
Dude, it's whatever you think it is. It's whatever you want it to be.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Go.
Jello. Is never yellow.
That's not true.
But it can be mellow.
That is true, I guess.
Aiden sips like a cello. Dude, I thought you were about to suck down that apple, just throat that apple.
Dude, these are sizable apples.
Yeah, no, the way he gulped was about to throat that apple. I thought that was going to be impressive, dude. I am CPR certified in first aid. Oh, first aid wouldn't apply.
Yeah, dude, I don't trust that.
I don't trust me either,
dude. You probably did it online.
No. It was a class in person.
Did you do the Bee Gees?
Yeah, it's just like 30 beats. Like, you just like, like 30 beats. It's 30 beats, tilt the head up two breaths, and then 30 more. It's like, yeah. Not a big deal.
Yeah, I don't trust you.
No, me either. I would not trust me either. Yeah. I'd mostly practice on a baby doll because, like, a baby CPR, and then there wasn't
that would work on me.
No, I know. And then, like, I was like, I feel like I should try out a regular one. She's like, you'll be fine. She gave me a piece of paper.
You got the gist.
She gave me a piece of paper to try it out on because, like, she ran out of the other dolls.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah. So. No thanks.
Yep, that's fair.
So maybe just call the cops.
Long story short, don't throat the apple.
Yeah, I will take your advice on that one.
Don't Cardi B the apple. Well, that would be drugging and robbing the apple, so don't do that either.
No, I won't be doing that either.
We're all over the fucking place today.
We are. Oh, man. I'm like burpy now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, all right. We will reload and get back at you.
Yeah. What up? We're back.
We're back.
Back in action. All right. You ready to hear my story?
Let's hear it.
So, I am doing, I believe, a Spirits on Spirits first.
Ooh.
It is. I am doing the French Broad River.
Oh.
I'm doing a river.
Body of water?
Body.
A little body of wa?
Dude, a little body of wa is right. So the French Broad River is actually one of the oldest rivers in the world, and it runs through western North Carolina. It starts its main stem near Roseman in Transylvania County, and then flows through Asheville and then continues into Tennessee. So we are focusing... my story is about the river where it flows through Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
There are numerous public access points in Asheville. River parks, greenways, places for paddling, kayaking, tuba, all that kind of stuff, okay? The river passes through the River Arts District.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Makes sense. I agree. But there is a legend... in Asheville when it comes to this river. First ever time I've heard of a river having a siren. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
The legend tells of a siren or a spirit called the Lorelei.
Gilmore Girls?
Yeah. It is also has a name, the Tessilica or something like that. It is a Cherokee folklore spirit, and it is often seen dwelling in the deep, quiet, or slower like bends and pools of the river. And it is described as a beautiful woman, often with dark, almost moss-like hair streaming down with dark eyes. And her presence is linked with soft, seductive music or a song that is faint and then gets, a little clearer and then a little clearer and then a little clearer. And then it seems to come from the river or the water's movement. And then she draws you in, like with that music. She draws you in, and specifically people who are weary or resting beside the water. And it is said that she draws you in first in your dreams. So
Ooh.
you'll see her in your dreams. You'll see her drawing you into the river, in your dreams, and then, waking in real life. What happens when someone is drawn in? The person is entranced, like they get almost possessed and they walk towards the water. And then as they approach, the lovely woman becomes almost monstrous. Her skin becomes slimy or cold, sometimes serpent-like, and then her face shifts into something like a skeleton and like terrifying looking. And then she pulls you into the water and you vanish. No screams are heard, no evidence remains.
That is super creepy.
Super creepy, right? Is spot is specifically like the rocks east of like the eastern part of Asheville. We find ourselves there with this story. So there have been several encounters. So it was funny because I almost didn't pick this because I was like, it's not like, I was like, I don't know if it's a ghost. Like, it's kind of like a legend or lore. But then I found, like, no, I feel like this is like a spirit, and definitely had situations where people have encountered it. So definitely very interesting. So the first one was in 2011, the first one I could find, like an actual like online account of, was a young man who anonymously went by the guard or like the name guard online, was camping by a remote part like of the French Bend, and around 3 a.m. he left the tent and walked outside to use the bathroom and saw a naked man standing across the river looking down. Oh, there's your naked man, dude.
Cool.
Yeah. But he was staring.
That could just be an Appalachian dude.
Maybe, yes. But he was staring down at the water. The man then looked like over his shoulder almost, as it's described. And then he walked straight into the water and he dove in. And then stayed submerged. There was no bubbles, no anything. And obviously the dude guard camping was pretty frightened, so he ran back. And then afterwards he had recurring nightmares of walking into the water and seeing the silhouette of a woman instead of his reflection.
Yeah.
And he believes that that was the siren trying to pull him in.
So he thinks that the naked dude was a siren?
No.
Oh,
The
okay.
naked dude got. And then she was trying to get him. So he had dreams after the
So the
fact.
naked dude was an actual naked dude.
Yes, actual naked dude. And then he had dreams after the fact of the woman trying to pull him in.
Okay.
Yeah. Crazy. And again, it's this, people see her and their dreams first, and it's this soft, like, you know, just enchanting thing. And then she pulls you in. I did find another story of another gentleman who was out hunting, I believe. Fishing. He was fishing. There was another story of a guy hunting, but then it was like, he was like, yeah, I thought I saw a woman. I was like, okay, that doesn't do anything cool for us. But there was another guy.
I've seen some too.
Yes. There was another guy fishing. And have you ever been fishing before?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, you're staring at the water. And when you're staring at the water, you can kind of see, like, underneath it a little bit. But your eyes play tricks on you. Yeah, like, you're definitely not sure of what you're seeing and stuff like that. It's only when it gets, like, really close and stuff like that. So he was fishing, and he was pulling the line back and forth. And he looked down, and it looked like there was, like, a big, like, shadow in the water, and he was like, oh shit, that might be a big fish. And then he kind of like looked a little closer, didn't get closer, but he just like kind of like his eyes focused in a little bit more, and he said it looked like it was almost like a woman standing in the bottom of the water, and like her hair was kind of like flowing and stuff like that.
No,
so he was like, nope, and dipped.
I would do the same.
So I don't know, what do you think? Like, it's hard to kind of do haunted or not, but, like, what do you think in terms of, like, do you think this legend is real?
Like, no.
Yeah.
no, I don't.
That's really, really hot take.
I don't really believe in...
Can we get a new host, please?
I don't... Because there's no, like... I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's enough of, like, a backstory for this lady. Like, if it was, like, a La Llorona thing where it's, like, there's a real, like, story behind, like, why she exists and why she does what she does, then maybe. But she's just a lady who seduces dudes and drags them into the water.
It's actually a good point. Why, like, why... I guess I didn't actually see if I could find the backstory behind it.
Yeah.
I think I was so entranced in the lore itself that I didn't, like, even look into the backstory.
Yeah, because, like, a lot of legends have, like, here's the speculated identity of the person who we think would be this legend. And this is just like, she just pops out of the water and seduces dudes and drags them into the water, and that's her whole existence.
Okay, so I did find her backstory pretty quickly. Her backstory is that Cherokee mythology.
Yeah.
Cherokee Nation, I believe, was the... nation that is settled and was settled throughout the Appalachian Mountains. But the backstory is that it was a Cherokee female water spirit. And the spirit was neither good nor evil, but a guardian of the river. And she could appear as a beautiful woman, mist rising from the water, or sometimes a snake-haired shadow below the surface. And if people treated the water with respect,
she would leave them alone.
She would bring calm and like safety and stuff like that. But if she did, if you were treating the water poorly, like if travelers polluted the water, took too much fish, or cursed the spirits, she would call to them at night, singing until they walked willingly into the current.
Creepy.
Creepy.
All right. See, now that I buy into a little more.
Okay.
I mean, I still find it hard to buy into some of these, like, legends and stuff. So I'll say it's one of those, like, 51-49 situations for me, but I'm going to lean no.
Okay.
But I just don't believe in legends and stuff. Like, I find it hard enough to buy into ghosts existing at all.
That's fair.
And that's when there is like an identity for mm-hmm. like in a reason and a
sure.
like circumstance in which that person died in that place. So this is just like a legend. So I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I get it.
What about you? What do you think?
Yeah.
You think it
is I mean real? It's too creepy to like I don't know, man. I'm also not trying to tempt fate by saying any of these things don't exist and then find myself in Appalachian mountains naked staring down at the water going, I wish I believed or I should have believed. Not a, but I don't know.
That's fair.
So that's kind of where I'm at. But yeah, no, I definitely think a lot of that stuff I believe. I mean, I think that the earth has an energy and a spirit too. So I do think a lot of that Native American mythology about that is, I think, to some extent, truthful and stuff like that. So
yeah, yeah.
Agreed. So, all right, we're split on this one. We were both haunted on the first one. We're split on this one. So,
let us know in the comments what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, well, I mean, that's all I got, dude.
Follow us on socials. We're going to keep going with the spooky season drinks. I think we're going to try and keep finding like fun fall vibe locations. If you have any recommendations, definitely let us know. And yeah, I think we might try and do something a little special for Halloween, so stay tuned for that too.
Yes, sir. We definitely will be doing something special for the All Hallows Eve.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, all right. Until next week.
Peace.
Peace.